Welcome to Fun and Fundraising, everybody, the podcast where we talk with people behind top nonprofit galas and signature fundraising events to showcase how they positively transform their communities. I am your host, Rob Giardinelli, and today I'm excited to have two very special guests on. We have Renee Harwood-Collins and Linda Plant, and they are co-chairs of this upcoming gala in Round Top called the Round Top Festival Institute Gala. And if anyone is not familiar with the Festival Institute, it is, and we'll get into more detail of this, but imagine a grand, beautiful musical space in a town of approximately 90 residents, because I know depending on who you talk to in Round Top, it's anywhere between 85 and 95 people. But, you know, we won't get into that, but it's an amazing space. And it just goes to show that even in the smallest incorporated town in Texas, there is great fundraising going on to really positively impact their communities. And I couldn't think of two better people to talk about this today than Renee and Linda. So with that, Renee, Linda, welcome. And we're so excited to have you both on as guests today.
Wonderful to be here.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So Linda, I'm going to start with you. Can you talk a little bit about what the mission of the Round Top Festival Institute is?
The mission for the Round Top Festival Institute, and we call it Festival Hill. So if I slip and I say Festival Hill, I'm talking about the Festival Institute, because that it is to provide for professional and classical musicians in training an avenue to have world-class exposure to world-class directors and world-class musicians. And they do it in a symphony setting where they have education. And then they also have a public performance in a 6-week series. So that goes on starting in the first week of June through mid-July.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, I had the good fortune. I actually toured this space for the first time last summer, and it was actually the last week of the program. And, you know, when Linda says world class, it is world class. There were students from all over the world. I mean, I could not believe there were probably people from 3 or 4 different continents that were there it really just was a majestic, magical thing to kind of witness and see, you know, the next generation of musicians really shining. I mean, it really is a fantastic space.
So, and then it goes a little bit further than just the classical music training. And they, it's such a benefit to our community in that it provides space for high school graduations and space for the Nutcracker performance in December. And we have a poetry reading in the spring, and we have an herbal garden forum. So there's just so much more than the music, but it really provides a wonderful platform for our community.
It really sounds like it, and I saw that when I was there, but really it is almost the epicenter, or almost the, you know, the second town square, if you will, because Round Top does have a town square, but this is almost, it really is the town gathering place. Maybe that's a better terminology and a better phrase for it. But yeah, so, you know, go ahead, Renee, were you about to say something?
I was just going to say, it really is. And, you know, I just call it another Texas treasure, because to think about this little bitty town in Round Top, Texas of 90 people and, you know, this world-class, amazingly beautiful concert hall with, you know, we sit on 150 acres. James Dick was, and I were talking, and he was telling me, you know, really, you know, in the music world, in the classical music world, you've got, you know, Tanglewood up in the Berkshires, you've got Aspen, and then Round Top is really third. It's world renowned for what we do. And it's set in this beautiful setting right here in the middle of small town Texas.
And the smallest incorporated town in Texas to boot. And, you know, what's really interesting is that both of you, we talked about this in the green room, we're going to call you both Texpats, as in you are folks from other Texas markets who moved into Round Top. So, you know, Renee, I'd like for you to field this question first. And Linda, I'd also like your thoughts after Renee talks, but talk a little bit about how you got involved with Festival Hill and this organization, and the importance of dialing into a new community when, you know, when you move to a new space.
Well, you know, Kent and I moved out here really recently. We've only been here almost 3 years. So when we moved, everybody in Austin was shocked. They couldn't believe that we were moving, but we really, it's been a long time dream of mine to kind of do a little bit of the country farm life setting. And we looked all over, we fell in love with Round Top. And I always like to say, you know, I was not one of those women who was a Round Top regular. I'm not an antiques expert. I'm not an interior designer. This was not necessarily my mecca. I love Round Top and I'd been, but this was not, you know, where I dreamed of ending up for years and years. And we just fell in love with the community and the property and the town. And one of the things that I really was so attracted to about this community was that it is made up of a lot of really interesting creative people. There's a lot of artists, musicians, creatives, the community people in the community. You know, it's really not just Round Top, but it's Fayette County. This is a very dedicated philanthropic community full of really interesting, influential, impressive people. And so that's, you know, when we came out here, I don't know that we thought we were going to find as much as we have, but that was really been such a pleasure for both Kent and I to be out here and be around the kinds of people that we're around that are doing such great things for the community and for rural Texas, you know, small town Texas.
Absolutely. And, you know, Linda, I'd love for you to talk about how, you know, your path to getting to Round Top, because I know you've been involved in the community a little bit longer than Rini has. You know, talk a little bit about that and how you got involved with, initially got involved and heard about Festival Hill.
So, so we moved, we bought a second home in 2003 and we were Houstonians and it was a weekend place. So, you know, Festival Hill at the time has a concert series and the big draw was the patriotic concert on July 4th. And I mean, it's just wonderful with the streamers. They hand out flags and you're waving your flag to John Philip Sousa. And it was, so that was my first concert that I went to. And then when you go to that and you're exposed to this beautiful concert hall, it's stunning, amazing. And you're like, wow, this is in Round Top. So then I started going to more concerts. And the beauty of Round Top is that it is a small community and it affords you the opportunity to get involved with more things. I think I was saying that once, you know, you retire and if you've had a professional career, you come to, you know, a smaller town and they're like, new blood, new opportunity. We need someone. Oh, you know how to work. You're used to working really hard. So let's just keep on working really hard. So, I mean, I say that tongue in cheek, but the people here are, as Rini said, very giving with their time, with their resources. And it is just, you know, I mean, it sounds corny, but it's neighbors helping neighbors.
Absolutely. And, you know, one way, you know, that neighbors can help neighbors and one way neighbors can really connect with each other is through the arts and through music specifically, which is, what Festival Hill primarily is about. I'd like for Linda to start and then I'd like Rini to weigh in. But where does your passion for the arts and specifically music come from?
Well, when I was growing up, I was in the band. I played the clarinet and I was a very bad clarinet player. Very bad. But I started my appreciation for classical music and music in general and hearing, you know, in a live setting. And, you know, I was in a band, but now you have the strings. And when you have the strings and the cellos, it just takes your breath away. So just being able to sit in the concert hall and then to be a part of it. Again, I feel privileged that I'm able to be a part of this because let's say, you know, in a bigger city, you know, maybe I wouldn't have that opportunity, but in Round Top, I do.
That's amazing. And that's incredible. And we're going to talk about the space, you know, in a moment a little bit more, but Rini, you have a long music background actually. So, you know, where does, you know, I don't think I've seen you so many times over the years. I don't think I've ever asked you, where does your passion for music and the arts come from?
Well, so, you know, it's interesting. There's a couple of things, you know, I'm kind of one of those unique unicorns. I have as much passion for music and the arts as I really do for social services and healthcare and a lot of other things. And for me, in Austin, with my experience with HAM, Health Alliance for Austin Musicians, I was brought in and was really exposed to all kinds of music. And I'm not going to say, and it's interesting because I love music. And I think that music and the arts, art in general, it's really the language of the soul. It just speaks to all of us. And I also believe that without, you know, if you were only focusing on social service needs or, you know, political needs, et cetera, you know, the arts and music are what make life worth living. That's the beauty of our life. And it comes out in many, many, many different forms. And, you know, one of the things that I will confess is I love all kinds of music. Kent is the one who really loves Festival Hill and concerts there. I love to go, but I would probably be going to other types of music sometimes too. But I believe so much in what we're doing at Festival Hill, because we're training and educating young musicians who are coming out and keeping, you know, not only classical music alive, but, you know, that concert hall, the sound in there is just world renowned. We had Ray Benson recently and Lyle Lovett recently, and I'm friends with Ray. I've seen him many, many times at all of his concerts. He has never sounded better than when he sang.
Yeah, he was fabulous.
Fabulous. The sound in there is just amazing. And I just think there's nothing like music. It touches your soul in a way. It truly is a universal language.
It absolutely is. And there are so many songs in so many different languages, whether it's just string or something sung in another language, that it can really just, it can move you. And mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned the space and how, you know, folks like Ray Benson have never sounded better. So I had toured this, you know, last summer, and James Dick personally, you know, guided us through a tour, and it was a magical thing. And it was funny because before I had even gone there, you know, the PR firm Public Content had given me like a briefing form, and it said, you know, that it had finalized construction in the early or mid 2000s. And I remember walking in there, and like 5 minutes in, I had to stop James because I was like, there is no way that something this grand and this magnificent could have been built and concluded building in the 21st century. Because I literally, it was so stunning. It felt like a Viennese opera house from the late 19th century. It was just jaw-dropping, and every single piece was made by hand, and we'll get into that, you know, right here. But, you know, talk a little bit about how you utilize this just unbelievable, is really, it's not, it doesn't even do it justice, space. How do you use this incredible asset to draw people to, you know, the gala that you all are having? And Linda, I'd like for you to start with this, because I know you've been involved with this organization for a extremely long time. And then I'd like Rainey to weigh in as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So it never ceases to amaze me that people that have had a place up here for years and years have never set foot in Festival Hill. And because, you know, they don't like classical music. So with these recent performances with Ray Benson and Lyle Lovett, it brought a broader audience. And I would see people come out, you know, people that I knew who had never set foot in Festival Hill, and their jaws were dropping. It was like beautiful. And so what it did, it opened the door. They're like, you know, maybe they're not going to go, they don't love classical music, but who wouldn't want to go sit in this fabulous concert hall in a cool setting during the hot summer and listen to wonderful music, but played by these very enthusiastic, you know, it's just so much fun to watch the students play. I mean, they're just, you know, they're from all over the world, and you can just see the joy on their face.
Absolutely. And that was the thing that I noticed, because they were like, when I walked onto the stage, there was like a, you know, they were in the middle of the stage. We were kind of off to the side, and they were just all mm-hmm. playing this wonderful orchestra. And it's just the acoustics were just, I just could not get over mm-hmm. how fantastic the, you know, the acoustics were. And Rainey, I'd love, you know, your thoughts on, you know, your thoughts on using such a wonderful grand space and your perspective on how that helps attract, you know, more donors in addition to doing things like concerts.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, first of all, the space, one of the coolest things about that space is James Dick oversaw every single piece of what has happened there. but local artisans are the ones that did all the construction. There were some are passed, I think now, right, Linda? But
right.
But there's a lot of people here that just hand designed, hand, you know, it's all it's all handcrafted, and it's just an amazing treasure. I call it a Texas treasure. And, you know, like I said, it sits on 150 acres. And I think in terms of attracting donors and educating people about why it's important to Texas. And one of the things that we're trying to do is when it first was started, when Festival Hill was founded and James started coming out here to play, I think Ima Hogg invited him. He played in the fields. You know, he had a class, he had a piano in the fields and was putting on classical concerts in the fields. And then, you know, people would come, like Kent's mom, Bobby, would tell me that they would come out and sit on hay bales, you know, and listen to concerts before the hall was actually built and completed. And it really draws people from all over Texas and people who are patrons of the arts and who love Round Top, because now Round Top is the new hot in place to be. It's you know, it's kind of this mecca of arts and culture and design. And yet we have this beautiful treasure here that we're hoping that people all over Texas will want to continue to support, because it does take quite a bit to keep something like this going. I believe I was talking to James and he was telling me that it's almost one of the things that we take a lot of pride in is that the students that come every summer, they're fully funded by scholarships. And so, you know, not only is their tuition and their education piece funded, but all of their living expenses, that we have lodging out there, you know, there. And so it costs us more than $500,000 a year to bring each new cohort of students in and bring in the world-class teachers and conductors and educators as well. And so that takes really a lot of support from across the state. It's, you know, that kind of money isn't just out here in this small town of 90 people.
Absolutely. And that actually, that leads me, we're totally on the same wavelength today. So, you know, my next question, actually, Linda, I'll let you start with it, is, you know, it really is a regional event, you know, and I know people on the host committee from Austin. I know some from, I think I even know someone from Bryan. I know folks that are from Houston that are on it, you know, mm-hmm. and some of them live in Round Top full time. Some of them don't, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, how this town of 90-ish residents, how you work to draw people from throughout the region to attend this really special, beautiful event.
Yeah, I mean, so when we say Round Top has 90 people, it's 1 square mile, right? So that those are the 90 people. They're the 1 square mile. So Renee and I both live outside the city limits. So it is a much broader area. And so, and it used to be primarily second home spot for Houstonians, and that has changing. As you know, Renee's coming from Austin. We have people coming from Dallas. We have people coming from you know, San Antonio, but we're trying to bring your influence, tell your friends, bring your, you know, to broaden our reach, because, you know, we had the reach in Houston definitely, but we need to continue to go, you know, now towards Austin, we need to go toward Dallas. I mean, I was talking to one of my guests for the gala, and he was like, he has a friend that's involved with a Bass Center in Fort Worth, and she'd never heard of Festival Hill, Round Top Festival Hill, which astonishes me, right? But so that is becomes more of an education, you know, for throughout the state on our part.
Absolutely. And you know just drawing people from all over, and all fundraising events, and I think, you know, you both have such experience in this, it always takes a village. And literally, you know, mm-hmm. you all are doing that with drawing people from, you know, throughout the state. And Renee, I'd like your point of view with this, you know, because you were involved with HAM, which is a wonderful organization in Austin, for a long time. How, you know, how do you, from a, you know, from a nonprofit perspective, putting your nonprofit thinking cap on, how do you work to, you know, get people kind of that are kind of outside the core geographic area to be a part of an event?
So I think, you know, there's several ways to do it. And you know, sometimes depending on what the organization is or what the mission is and kind of what's going on, you can really luck into just kind of what's a hot topic. Sometimes it's about who's on your committee. And I think it's really critical, which is why I was so honored that Linda asked me to help her co-chair, because your committee is critical. And so the people that are involved make a huge difference. And we were really intentional about our committee and pulling in people from different parts of the state and doing some different things. But one of the, to draw people in, you really want some sort of a hook. And sometimes it's, a really elegant gala. Like, if you think about the Seton Gala every year, it's mm-hmm. very elegant, very, it's got its own flavor. And one of the things that Linda and I realized as we were putting together the gala for this year is, because Festival Hill, even though it's been around a very, very long time and it's very solid financially, I mean, it's a solid, good organization. They don't have, they kind of scrape by to raise the funding that they raise. And we did not have deep, deep pockets to create a gala that was we had some limitations. And Festival Hill itself, while it's a beautifully elegant, wonderful place, yet you have to rent tents or do something to get people out there. And that's quite expensive. And this year we decided that we wanted to, Rob, try to put as much money that we were raising into the actual organization as opposed to costs, and it's kind of a fine line. And I'm a big believer in both ends. I mean, you can do it lots of ways and you do need to spend money to make money. So I'm not, but what we decided we wanted to do this year was kind of go back to basics. And we're calling it actually an ungala, because they had such a successful gala 2 years ago, the one that you were referencing, and it was beautiful. We decided to go back to the Roundtop roots and go back to when I'm a Hog asked James Dick to come play in the middle of the field. We're doing this at the historic Roundtop Rifle Hall, which Fantastic. Is going to be so fun. And it's going to be really different, but we're pulling in all of the pieces that make Roundtop so special. And Linda, I'll let you jump in and talk a little bit about some more about that. But that's, our goal has been to really do something different. And so we kind of came up with this ungala theme that's a lot of fun, that is different than, because one of the things that you run into, especially in a community like Fayette County and Roundtop, you're competing against a lot of the same people. And when something is successful, everybody wants to do the same thing. And so we wanted to do something different that would still draw people in, but still be really representative of what Festival Hill is and what it means to the community.
That's fantastic. And Linda, I'd love for you to echo any thoughts Rainey has.
So basically, Rainey talked about Texas Treasure. So James Dick is our Texas Treasure. He won the medal, he was awarded the Medal of Arts, I think in 2009. So we started with James, and then the Rifle Hall was actually a German shooting organization, sport shooting in the end of 1800s. And it is used to this day and for events and fundraisers for the volunteer fire department. So it's very community oriented. It certainly isn't fancy, but that was the whole thing. We were like, let's make it we like to wear our boots and jeans, and then they like to wear our Roundtop outfit where you can gussy up a little bit, you put your hat on. But the other traditions in Roundtop were Royer's. Like Royer's Cafe is going to cater for us. And, they've been around, they're an institution. And then we're going to have, when guests arrive, the Roundtop Brass Band play. And it's just going to be, they play every 4th of July. And, it's going to be things that people recognize and like, oh, this feels so comfortable and good. And then, they're at ease and they're having fun. We want them to have fun and we want them to spend money, right? Get on our auction item. We have some great auction items. We've had some really good sponsorship.
Linda, that was, really great information. And what I like about what you both are doing with this event is I love the concept Rainey brought up earlier about the ungala, because mm-hmm. what people don't realize is that they're, two of the top five largest galas in Texas are jeans and sport coats in Mac Jack and McConaughey in
That's
Austin,
right.
The Cattle Baron's Ball in Dallas. So you don't have to have these, you know, they don't, you don't have to be in black tie. And what I really like is, and especially in a smaller community, and really a lot of nonprofits struggle with this, is how do you keep your nonprofit ahead of the curve? And I love that you, I won't say you threw a curveball at the community, but you really, you're staying ahead of the curve by, we did this really fancy fun thing a couple of years ago, and this time around, we're going to do something that, you know, feels really rustic and feels Round Top chic and does all these things that really allows people, you know, allows the community to kind of come out in spades and really just be themselves in an elevated way and just really enjoy, you know, really enjoy the space. So I just, I really admire you all for doing that.
And I think one of the things that we really wanted to do too, because, you know, we've mentioned a little bit, Rob, about, you know, some people think they're not classical music fans and they're not, you know, why would I be interested in doing that? It's all, you know, it's, I'm putting my air quotes in, but, you know, it's stuff I'm not interested in, or it's too she. And one of the cool things that we're doing is we, of course, James Dick will be there. And of course, our new creative director, Iverson, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name.
Can Iverson, Elopoulos.
Elopoulos. Okay.
Elopoulos.
Is there, but we have, we secured, our honorary co-chairs are Ray Benson and Lyle Lovett. And the reason that we secured them, they love Festival Hill. They believe in Festival Hill. As musicians who are not classical musicians, they would tell you if they had, and they, Ray's told me this because we were talking about my granddaughter. He said, you know, you want to start her, if, because she's real interested in music, in classical music. Start her on piano, start her in the basics, you know, because that's what he's built on. You know, his, their careers were built on that. And, so we're so excited to have them as our honorary co-chairs. And then our entertainment, which, because we weren't going to be in the concert hall, so we couldn't bring the concert piano and all the orchestra stuff. Linda, you want to talk a little bit about our entertainment, because it's really exciting.
Well, yeah. So we are, well, one thing, to go back to Iverson. So he is going to do a performance. He's a cello player, and he was a student. He was a former student at Festival Institute, which is such a fabulous story. And now he is program director. So he's come full circle, and he is a prime example of why we're raising this money. So these students can come, they get their education, they go off, they, you know, become a success. So they go in many different parts of the world. And then he came back and he's giving back to where, you know, he started. Then we also have Ellen Story, and she's a local musician. She plays she's a violinist, and she was trained at Berkeley, but she's also a fiddle player, and she plays with the Broken Spokes. So she has a trio that will be playing. And that was, so Ellen, you know, she plays with the Broken Spokes, and then she plays at our local church, you know, every Sunday. So it's, you know, a part of the community sharing, you know, bringing everybody in to create a fun event.
Well, I love that you're bringing up, you know, one, the idea of, you know, the elements that go into a fun event, but I was really inspired hearing Iverson's story in particular, because there is no more effective way for an organization to raise funds than to physically see what it's going to benefit. And literally, mm-hmm. this is someone who probably, you know, went to Festival Institute a decade, 2 decades ago, however long it was, come back, and donors can see the end result of that. And they can see in Iverson's case, the provenance of the, you know, of the organization and the dedication that people have, that it made that much of a mark on Iverson that many years later, Iverson would come back and be, you know, be involved with the organization at large. I just think that's an amazing, inspiring story.
Yeah. And we are very lucky in that we have so many past students who come back and teach and, you know, do conducting and all kinds of things. I mean, it is really, when James told me, I've always known about Tanglewood and Aspen, but I didn't realize that Round Top is really in that same class. I mean, it's 1, 2, 3, we're third. It's world class, renowned for our programming and what we do. And that's a real feather in Texas's cap, you know?
Absolutely, to be, you know, the holy trinity of, you know, of Texas event or of the U.S. event music spaces is really, I mean, it really is something. And I'm glad you brought up James, because I'd like each of you to kind of weigh in, you know, what is the key to having a good relationship with an organization as an event chair to carry out the, you know, being ahead of the curve event-wise, like you all are doing with this year's concept, and respecting, you know, the wishes of James and the wishes of the organization. And Renee, I'd like for you to go first on that one.
Okay. Well, you know, I have kind of a twofold perspective, because I've been on the organization side as well. And I think it is really important, as when you're fundraising or when you're volunteering or sitting on a board with an organization, to respect what that the mission of the organization and the leadership and how the organization is you know, what their, it's not really style, but, you know, how an organization, I'm blanking, hang on, sorry. It's really important to respect, I think, the leadership and the mission of an organization. And sometimes, as volunteers, we get great ideas, or as gala co-chairs, and we say, we can do this and it'll be so interesting and blah, blah, blah. And it's like just a little off kilter. And so you have to, you know, you do have to listen to the staff and run things by. And we have been really lucky in that James is very open and very creative, but he's also said, you know, I brought an idea to the table that I thought might work. And he was like, I just don't feel like that's, I don't feel comfortable with that. It doesn't feel like what I want Festival Hill to stand for. And I was like, I think I can raise a whole lot of money with that. And he was like, I still don't think it works. And I was like, okay, you're right. Then we came up with a second idea that we think is going to be super great. We got, and it was a little outside of his comfort zone, but he has agreed to one of our silent auction, or not silent auction, one of our live auction packages is going to be auctioning off conductor for the 4th of July festival. And we think that could, that how fun is that? It could be, someone could do that for a child that is really interested in music. Someone could do that for a grandchild. They could, you could do that for the man or woman who has anything that loves Festival Hill and just have a great time. And what more fun than to conduct to a John Philip Sosa, you know, 4th of July music. So Jimmy was like, you know, I think that could work. And so it's really, I think it's about respecting and understanding limitations too, of, you know, most organizations don't have a ton of staff. So Linda and I have had to work with the staff and also do some things on our own, because they don't have it. I mean, it's, you know, they don't have the luxury of just having 25 staff.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that part up. And Linda, I'd love for you to, you know, to chime in on this about the, you know, the key to having a successful relationship. Cause it, if I understand it, you know, from what Renee's told me and from what I've read, you're very, very actively involved in the Roundtop community. So I'd love to know, you know, what made you say yes to, to chair this particular event, and the key to, you know, having a successful and good working relationship with, you know, with James and the team.
So one thing, Rennie, we haven't mentioned Pat Johnson, but Pat Johnson is a staff member, and she sits with us. She's in every meeting, and she is invaluable. And she is, you know, we'll bring something up, and she'll run it by Jimmy. I mean, we, you know, we do talk to him, Rennie talks to him and gets the final, but she paves the way for so many things. And we're just, you know, we couldn't do it without her. I mean, we just have to, hats off to Pat. But when Jimmy and Pat took me to lunch, and they, I kind of had an idea what they were going to ask me, and they asked me to chair. And at first, well, I'm, you know, I have a career, I'm busy, but I couldn't say no, because I was so flattered. I was so flattered, because it is such a treasure in our Roundtop community, and I want to preserve it. And I think our community wants to preserve it too, and see it grow and thrive. So anyway, I was very flattered.
Fantastic. And, you know, like you said, James is not the easiest person to turn down. You know, if he's asking, that's a highly esteemed honor.
Not at all.
Well, and I want to mention, in addition to the Texas Medal of Arts Awards, he's one of the very few. He also has received the Texas Independence Day Dinner's History Making Texan Award. And you could probably count on one hand the number of people who have gotten both. So, I mean, it's one of those people. I mean, in a state of 33 million people, there's only a handful that can say that. And he's one of them. And, you know, I want to, you know, just delve into, I know we've talked about some of the elements this year, but I love each of you to share what's one thing you're most looking forward to at this year's gala. And I'd like for Rini to start with that one.
You know, I think I'm super excited and I'm really looking forward to, I'm just envisioning, what I'm really looking forward to is the arrival of all the people and of all of our sponsors and donors, because we only had 200 and what do we have? Linda,
235.
We were capped at 235 people. So that is a very hard way to raise that kind of money. You know, it's not huge. And we have put so much effort into trying to make everything special for each individual donor. And I just can't wait for them to see it, because it's not going to be a really big, fancy, you know, elegant crystal chandeliers and flowers everywhere. It's going to be a celebration of the real roots of Festival Hill. And so I'm so excited just to have people walk into the Round Top Brass Band and Rifle Hall and get, you know, pumped and excited about the mission.
That's fantastic. And Linda, what about you?
So it's interesting. So my involvement in all these different fundraisers and Round Top is, you know, everybody knows each other. We're, you know, a small community. So when we get to these events, it's a lot of chatting, catching up with your neighbors. But there will be new people here too. So I'm looking forward to the regulars meeting new people and introducing them and telling them, you know, why they love Festival Hill. So I think it's going to be a wonderful integration of the new and the old people. And, you know, I think that should raise a lot of enthusiasm.
Absolutely. And, you know, it sounds like it's going to be an incredible night. And, you know, we're coming up on time here, but I want to end with one question for each of you, and we'll have Linda answer first and we'll have Rini answer second. But that is, what is one thing all successful events have in common?
Oh, man. Well, I think it's organization. I mean, it is organization, and it is a good committee. So we can be chairs all day long and have all these great ideas, but we have a wonderful committee that we can give responsibilities to, and they'll get done. So you have to trust your committees, and we're so privileged, and we have a wonderful committee.
Wonderful answer. And Rini, I'd love to hear from you as well.
You know, I would have said committee, because I think that's so important, because it takes a village. But I will follow up, really working with the staff and the organization. It's key. If there is chaos in an organization or you know, if it's a difficult organization, or if the staff isn't behind what you're doing, it makes it so hard. And we have been so lucky on this particular gala, like I said, with Pat and Lamar and James Dick and just the staff, you know, they want to make it easy for us. And so they have paved the way for lots and lots of things. And I think it takes both. You know, I think the committee chairs are sort of front and center, but that's not really what gets it done. You know, it's your committee and your staff and the people that are going out and helping you fundraise and helping you put these things together. And really, even the details to me, Rob, of a gala, those are important. And that's what makes it fun. And that's what you're doing. But it's about the fundraising. It's about working with the staff and the organization to say, who else can we fundraise from? What else, you know, how else can we do this? How can we communicate the mission? Because that's where the key is. And that's where your funding comes from.
Absolutely. And that's a mic drop moment, if I haven't heard one. And there was one thing that both of you said that was in common that I want to bring up, because it's a fitting tie to the end, you know, to this segment. It really takes a symphony. a symphony of individuals of, you know, whether it's the committee, whether it's you all as chairs, whether it's James, whether it's the folks on his staff, all those people are essential in creating a, you know, in creating a successful event. And, you know, I am in awe of what the two of you are able to accomplish in a small community like this. So I want to say bravo, because I know it's going to be an amazing evening. And I want to thank you both from the bottom of my heart for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us. And we want to make sure that if you and Lance, it's April 13th, we'd love to have you as our guests. If you want to come out, you could even stay at my place. You know, think about it.
I definitely will. I'm going to check my calendar, because I know it will be a magical, special evening.
Well, you guys are booked. I'm sure you've got lots of places.
There's lots going on. Season. April's a busy month. But it is a busy month. I love that space. And if I can't make it this year, I will move heaven and earth to be there next year.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It was such a pleasure to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you both so much. The Roundtop Festival Institute Gala will be held on April 13, 2024 in Roundtop, Texas. For more information, please visit festivalhill.org. And that will do it for this episode of Fun and Fundraising. I'm your host, Rob Giardinelli, reminding you to keep it fun, keep it interesting, and your guests will have a great time. Have a great day, everyone, and take care.